welcome friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, Luke 19 and 10 tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to be your Savior. He came with whosoever wills, regardless of what many men say today. Listen, the Word of God does not teach a limited atonement. It's as limited as your faith is, but Jesus tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's talking to you. If you got up this morning in the lost category, you can go to bed tonight in the saved and on your way to heaven. And oh, by the way, it's very possible that you could be saved and also taken to heaven today. Listen, friend, none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. I'm telling you, I've heard people say here today and gone tomorrow. Well, we can be here today and gone today, but I imagine you know that. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program. She's got a great song picked out to go along with the message God has laid on my heart. I've opened my Bible, the book of Acts chapter 26, and I'm going to be looking at one verse of Scripture out of that, verse 8, Acts 26 and 8. But before I do that, Debbie's got a song. The title of it is One Touch, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you. You enjoy the song. When she's done, I'll be back with a message. Pray for both of us. We're praying for you.
Hello, my name is Blind Man. I've been a blind man since my birth. I've never seen the beauty or the comfort of this earth. But I've heard of a man who had came from touch these eyes, make this blind man see. One touch, one touch of the Master's hands. They said he could touch these eyes on this blinded.
I'm going to say this, there's a blind man in the book of Mark, chapter 8, that would tell us if we need it, Jesus will touch us more than once. Again, I've opened my Bible, to the book of Acts chapter 26, looking at verse 8. And Debbie, appreciate that message. Wonderful job. Wonderful message in that song. We appreciate that. But I'm going to read one verse of Scripture for our consideration today, and I trust that it is a blessing to you. Now, we find the Apostle Paul here defending himself before a man by the name of Agrippa. He'd been at a place called Caesarea Maritime for some time, and well, I don't have time to tell you why that he was brought there, but he was brought there simply by doing what God called him to do, called him to do, and told him to do, commissioned him to do, enabled him to do, and that's to herald the gospel. That's to preach the good news. And largely, friend, largely was there because he believed in a doctrine that we know well today, or at least we ought to know well. It is the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Now, he had said his hello, so to speak, to Agrippa. He was paying Agrippa a compliment, telling Agrippa that he was happy that he was able to speak for himself, happy that Agrippa understood some of the things that the accusation being made against him, some of the things about Christianity and this new religion that that had birthed after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he began to go on and tell how he got to this place and what was going on. And listen to what he said in verse 8. He said, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" I'm going to talk to you today for a little while about the implications of the resurrection. Over the book of Philippians 3:10, this verse goes along with verse 8 here. What a wonderful verse it is. I'm not even going to get all of the book of Philippians 3:10. Listen to what the Word of God says as Paul was teaching these people that church of Philippi. He said, look, one of the things that I want, one of the things that I desire. He told us a few verses before this what he gave up, what he had been, what he had been born into, what he had developed into, and when he met Jesus Christ, what he gave up willingly. The Bible says, Paul did, that I may know Him. Now, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say some other things, and there are things in that verse are worthy of all of our consideration, all of our mimicking, all of our application to our life. But the Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let me tell you what Paul's saying. Paul's not saying, look, I'm looking forward to the day of the resurrection. He wasn't talking about that day when the dead in Christ shall rise. He wasn't talking about that day when the dust shall give up the dead. He wasn't talking about a day, a specific day, that first resurrection. What Paul was talking about, he said, look, here's what I want. I want to know day in and day out the power of Jesus' resurrection coursing in my spirit, coursing in my soul, coursing in my veins, if you will. I want to know the power of the resurrected Christ in my life today. And that's what I'm suggesting. Look, I believe there are implications of the resurrection that we can apply to our life. I'm going to look at some natural accounts or accounts of a physical, not natural, but a physical resurrection here in the Word of God. Then I'm going to make some applications, if I may, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, to the spiritual resurrection, what it means to you. And I believe we can see some things. I believe we can make some conclusions of things. I believe we can learn some things about what we find out in the Word of God about resurrection. And again, Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul was saying here before Agrippa, he said, look, why should anybody think it's strange that God created the heavens and the earth, God that created the universe and all that is therein, God had created man? Why would man think that it was impossible or something strange for God who is, was, and always shall be, for a God who is omnipotent or all-powerful, almighty, according to the Word of God, august and holy and, listen, mighty? Why in the world would somebody think it's strange that He could raise the dead? You see, listen, They didn't have any trouble with the death of Christ. They all knew He had died. They didn't have any trouble with the burial of Christ. They knew that He had been buried. But can I tell you something, sir or ma'am? Listen, the gospel is incomplete unless we preach the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, He said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which is of primary importance, and first of all that which I also received, of that Christ," how that Christ died for our sin. Now watch this according to Scripture. "And that He was buried," now watch what it goes on to say, "and that He rose again the third day according to Scripture." Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, we have no complete gospel without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection completes the gospel, completes the good news. And Jesus said, John 14 and 19, He said, and this is good news too, I'm about to shout right now, "Because I live, ye shall live also." That's important we understand what resurrection is. Resurrection means a standing up of the body. Has nothing to do now, friend, with a standing up of the spirit. Now look, in reality, the spirit never dies. The body does. I mean, when death comes, listen, the body dies. The soul, the spirit goes on to God. The spirit goes back to God who gave it. The soul goes either to a holding tank that we refer to as hell, or in the presence of the Lord if we're saved. And I want you to know, friend, they await resurrection. When that body that has died, the Bible refers to it as sleep. If we're a believer, awaits to the resurrection day when the body and soul be reunited, be changed, but we will be reunited. And over in the book of Revelation chapter 5, we see this perfectly illustrated. When John was there paying attention to the events going on to heaven, saw that book held in the hand of Him that sat on the throne. And because nobody in heaven and earth beneath the earth was found worthy to open the book, John wept. But one of the elders said, "Hey, wait just a minute, John. Hey, wait just a minute, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed to take the book and to loose the seals thereof and to look therein." And John said, "When I looked, instead of seeing a lion," thank God, John said, "I saw a lamb." Now watch how it's written. He said, "I saw a lamb standing. I saw a lamb as it had been slain, standing." And look where he said it was standing. He said, "In the midst of the throne and in the midst of the four beasts." Oh, listen, friend. "And in the midst of the elders." Chapter 5, verse 6 of the Revelation. Thank God, listen, that Jesus, that same Jesus who went down one day, bless God, after He gave up the ghost on the cross, 3 days later came alive, came back from the dead and said, "I'm He that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And behold, I've got the keys of death and hell." To prove it, He had authority, did He not? Had authority. Now listen to what I'm going to say. Look, these physical resurrections that we're going to look at in the Word of God make mention of, they're a picture. They put forth a message for me and you. They have some spiritual implications, if you will, for me and you to glean from and learn. Oh, look, there's people that profess to know Christ. There are people that profess to be saved and on the way to heaven. But oh, listen, friend, I wonder if they have what those that Jesus touched their life and gave them back life and raised them from the dead. That little maid in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8. How that man at Nain in chapter 8-7 of the book of Luke. Or that man we all know by the name of Lazarus over there in the book of John chapter 11 and chapter 12. But can I tell you something? He said in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. Listen to what he says. "And ye..." Listen how he said it. He's pretty specific. "And not ye, but you have he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Sir, ma'am, if you're lost and undone, you're dead spiritually. You may be alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. Your light's gone out. Your light's gone out according to the Word of God. And the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Lord, He said, listen, "There's none righteous, I know not one." He even said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're alive, if you're dead, you can be made alive. God has quickened us. God has quickened me. God has given me a spiritual resurrection. Do you remember a message I preached not too long ago? Well, maybe it was on another program, but he said over here in the book of John, he said, the day is, the hour is coming, and now is when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. I'm going to tell you something, friend. All that are in the grave. Now listen to what he said in chapter 5, and it is verse 24 or 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear His voice, the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Sir, ma'am, you're lost and undone. That means you're dead in trespasses and sin. But if you hear the call of God in this message, listen. He'll quicken you. He'll make you alive. And you can experience that spiritual resurrection that gives you life. Life eternal. How wonderful that is. And I'm going to tell you something. All mankind outside of Christ Jesus, all those that have never trusted Christ as their Savior, all of those that have never repented of their sin and by faith received Christ as their Savior, they're dead. Not according to what I'm saying, they're dead. And you say, preacher, I'm not as bad off as somebody else is. Can I tell you something, sir or ma'am? Listen, there may be different degrees of decay after death. But I'll tell you what, I've never seen one person any more dead than the other. When you're dead, you're dead. You may be stinking worse than somebody else, or somebody else may stink worse than you do. But can I tell you, listen, the Word of God says that we've all died spiritually. We're all dead. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Now, the Word of God teaches that there were, before Christ, listen to what I'm going to say, before Christ, there were seven. Yes, seven. You say, preacher, I know about six resurrections. The Bible calls them, but where's the seventh? Well, you know the one that Elijah did. You know the one or the two that Elisha did. Those children that Elijah and Elisha did. And about that man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah. Those three were quickened. Those three that had died came back to life. You read about this. You know the one I'm going to look at, and again, Mark 5, in the book of Luke 7, in the book of John chapter 11, if I've got time. I'm going to mention some things. I won't be able to go into detail on them. Having you know about them, that makes six. You say, well, where's the seventh, preacher? Well, listen to what I'm going to say. Seven is the number of completion. Eight is the number of new beginnings. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe Jonah died. I believe that old prophet died. Bless God, in the belly of the whale. You say, preacher, it's a great miracle for God to preserve him in the whale's belly and bring him out alive. Yeah, but I'll tell you, I believe it's a greater miracle for God to let him die in the whale's belly and then God bring him out alive. He that was dead. Listen, I believe Jonah saw corruption because the Bible uses that word. And I believe corruption, if I've studied it outright, is a reference to death. Now listen, whether you agree with me or not, if you want to be right, you know you'll agree with me. Listen, Jesus had a new beginning. Matter of fact, the book of 1 Corinthians 15:20 says He was the first fruits of them that of them out of the dead. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 1, what is it? What verse is it? Oh, I don't remember what it is now, about verse 18, some long, where down through there, called Him the firstborn from the dead. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Jesus, listen. Hey, He brought a new resurrection in. Do you hear? All of those six before Him. Yay, all of those seven before Him. Have they been brought back to life? They revived. But here's the difference between them and Jesus. They died again. They died again. But this man Jesus, thank God, who tasted death once for all men. Hey, He said, listen, I'm He that was dead. I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of hell and death. I know I've already quoted that to you, the book of Revelation 1:18. But I like it, so I wanted to hear myself say it one more time. But look, let's go on. Let's go on real quick. Let me give you some ideas. Look over in the book of Matthew or Mark, chapter 5, and this also parallels in the book of Luke, chapter 8. There was a daughter of a man by the name of Jairus. She was sick. She was 12 years of age, and Jesus got Jairus to commit to coming down to his house so that he could touch her, so that she would be healed from her sickness. Well, I listened along the way. Well, Jesus was on His way. His daughter died. You remember that, don't you? One of the servants said, look, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Jesus said, look, Jairus, look at me, look here. Keep your eye on me. Believe. Don't pay any attention to that. Believe. Well, when they got there, walked in the room, and Jesus said, listen, I want everybody out of here with mom and dad. And he said, the man's not dead, but she's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. But can I tell you what happened? When in that room with Peter, James, and John, the mom and dad of that, with that little girl, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus said, made her rise. Talitha kumi is what I believe he said. How he said it. Look, I can't even do English much less a Greek. You understand, or Hebrew? Talitha kumi. And I say unto thee, made her rise. You know what happened? Bless God, she got up. She began to walk around. You remember that great miracle, don't you? He said, made, arise. And listen out what the Word of God said in Luke chapter 8. And straightway the Bible said, she got up and walked. And then Jesus says, hey, give her something to eat. Can I tell you, friend, listen. There's some implications for the resurrection. If you've been raised out of the dead, the death of spiritual death. If you've been raised from your spiritual death, listen. You want me to tell you what? You'll walk right. Hey, bless God. When you get up, you'll be hungry. The Bible says to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2. And two. Bless God, I'm going to tell you what, listen, if you've been dead, you've heard the voice of God, He gives you life, eternal, bless God, listen, you'll start walking up for Him. And number two, you'll be hungry for the things of Him. Wish I had more time than what I do. How about right here in the book of Luke, chapter 7? Jesus had come down from Capernaum to a town in the lower valley of Jezreel, in the western side of it, I believe, there at the foot of Mount Tabor, where a little city by the name of Nain was. You know what he did? He interrupted a funeral procession. Bless God, you're talking about God's time and be perfect. There was no coincidences in this. Bless God, there's a lot of beautiful things to be said about that passage. But can I tell you how the best one of it is? This woman was walking behind the buyer. You know what? She was weeping because her only son, she was a widow, and now her only son was being carried off to his grave. He was dead, friend, dead on the doorknob. They were taking him out to bury him until Jesus came by. You know what he did? When he came by, when he saw all the things that were going on, saw this young man being carried to his grave, you know what Jesus did? He looked at the mother and said, look, weep not. What strange commands, what strange words to say to a mother whose child lay dead in a coffin. Oh, it was an open bier. It was an open coffin, if you will. Everybody could see him laying up there. He was dead. You know what Jesus did? You know what Jesus did? He said, the Bible said, Luke did, he came and touched the bier. I mean, he came to touch that which that man was laying on, that he was being carried to his grave on. And you know what the Bible said? Hey, listen, I love this. He that was dead, hallelujah, sat up and began to speak. Amen. You know what happened there? Listen, bless God. You know what happened there? I thank God, listen, that man changed position. Can I tell you something, sir, man? Hey, if Jesus touches you spiritually, if you hear the voice, if you hear the voice of the Son of God and you live, I'll tell you what, it'll change your position. Bless God, listen. You were in darkness, now you're in light. Hey, you were headed for hell, now you're headed for heaven. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You'll talk about the good things of God. You'll have a testimony about the grace of Almighty God and how that He delivered you. I've got to hurry because my time is almost gone. Over there in the book of John chapter 11. Most of all of you all that listen to this old preacher know this story. There's a man by the name of Lazarus that had two sisters, Mary and Martha. They all loved Jesus and Jesus loved all of them. Hey, listen, they requested that Jesus come to heal Lazarus who was sick. Well, Jesus delayed. He didn't delay. It was just wasn't on His schedule to come as early as they wanted Him. But nonetheless, He delayed. And old Lazarus died. By the time He got to Bethany, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Jesus, though, told Mary and Martha, He said, listen, I am the resurrection. They said, we believe in the dead resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. That's why Paul said, that I may know Him of the power of His resurrection. He said, where have you laid Him? Well, they took Him to the tomb. They removed the stone, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And listen to what the Word of God said. And listen, he that had been dead, he came forth. Do you know that? I mean to tell you, he came out. He that was dead, verse 44 said, came forth, bound hand and foot, out with grave clothes. You know what happened to Lazarus? Bless God, I'll tell you what happened to him. There was a change of condition for him. Hey, bless God, listen. He was corrupting. He had done died. But thank God, Jesus gave him life. Give him eternal life. How good is that? You know what he did? Hey, bless God, he loosed him from all of his past. That's what the grave clothes were a picture of. That's what they were a type of. Those dead things of the past. Listen, sir, ma'am, I know I didn't do this justice to this, but there are implications of the resurrection all over this place. If you're dead in your sins, listen, God will save you. He'll make you alive. And if you get alive, you'll walk right. You'll have a hunger for the things of God. Bless God, your position will change. You'll stand up. You'll get up. You'll move up. And bless God, if He has saved you, hallelujah, your condition will change. You'll be brought out. I bless God from your past forever. Run to Him today. Bow your head, humble your heart. Say, God, give me life.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Share.